accident.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here, make way for the next show and all that stuff. Thanks for participating. We'll be back next week to do it one more time. I don't know if we'll have a Dwight or not, but thanks, Dwight, for coming out and hanging out with us.
I had a great time.
You doubled it. You tripled it, maybe. So it's awesome. All right. Well, you've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Thank you.
Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig here on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Well, we're doing another two-track show tonight. We're having a guest to interview, and we're raising money for KPFT, your community-funded, nonprofit Pacifica radio station, almost entirely volunteer-worked and almost entirely community-supported. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But first, I want, wow, that was like shocking. Egberto, next time let's fade down so I don't get like this record needle lifting off the record shock.
You see, you kind of scared me. You gave me that look like, you mean you're still playing music?
Yeah, you were still playing music. But then it's all of a sudden like a clap of lightning, the music is gone.
Well, I think I'll take responsibility, but you must take responsibility for your eyes.
Okay, I take responsibility for my eyes, my slightly Russian, Eurasian, droopy eyes.
We don't have to go there, do we?
You're the one who brought up eyes, my friend. Okay, just a little sort of publicity here. The blog where I post announcements on the show and links and things like that that relate to what I do or whenever I have the urge, thinkwingradio.com. You can also go to thinkwing.org. They take you to the same place but have fewer keystrokes. You can follow me on Twitter at ThinkWing Radio. You can follow my engineer and co-conversationalist Egberto Willis at Egberto Willis. We're both really, really imaginative that way.
Sorry, man.
That's okay. That's all right. So, my guest tonight, who will be sharing time with fundraising, although he's not obligated to help in fundraising, he will be sharing time with fundraising, is Nico Letsos. Is that?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's good. Okay. Nico is the Democratic candidate for the Texas 2nd Congressional District, which is currently held by longtime incumbent Republican Ted Poe.
Lloyd Ted Poe.
Is there a problem with the name Lloyd? Are you basically going to say anyone named Lloyd don't vote for me?
No, it's just a funny thing that so many politicians don't use their real first name.
But isn't that their parents' fault? At the end of the day, you know,
nothing's wrong with the name Lloyd.
Nothing is wrong, and I think it's probably Welsh. I think that double L is like a Welsh thing, but who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyways,
yeah. Don't go alienating people by name.
I hope I didn't lose the one Lloyd vote in the second district.
Well, you don't know how many Lloyds. I will tell you, Mike, I once found out, is the 9th most common name in America. So if I ever alienated the Mikes, I'd be dead.
You'd be dead. Yeah. Dead in the water.
Yeah.
All right.
When I was single, I went to single events, and sometimes I would have 4 or 5 people talking to the same woman with me, and they would all be named Mike. Hmm. And that just tells you, don't alienate people by name.
I'll make it my mission to find a Lloyd and earn his support.
That may be your first political faux pas, so now you're going to have to backtrack. Ha-ha. All right. We're not gonna rest on that. But you actually have some really, really great qualifications for running. You teach mathematics in an economically disadvantaged minority high school in the 2nd District. You have previously taught college-level economics and U.S. history to some of Houston's most at-risk students. And the experience you got from that gave you a certain amount of empathy and understanding for the kinds of problems that the non-affluent and the troubled have in our society. And that's kind of what drove you and your new wife, your newlyweds, your new wife, Alyssa, to devote your careers to education and now to possibly the bigger picture of education through politics.
That's correct.
A thing that I think is really kind of cool, you earned your bachelor's degree from UT in less than 2 years. UT Austin, under 2 years for a bachelor's degree with a double major in government and history and graduating summa cum laude, and then came back to Houston. So that's all pretty impressive stuff. But apparently you only got like a 3.95 average or something. You got this B. What's up with the B?
Well, my first semester I received a B in a calculus class.
Were you goofing off?
No, it was an 89, and the professor just chose not to give me an A.
Obviously a man against perfection.
Or woman. No, it was a man, okay. But at any rate, I realized from a young age how fortunate I really was to have access to education in this country. My parents didn't graduate from high school being Greek immigrants, so from a very early age, I was kind of blown away by all of the things open to me in American education. So I took advantage of it.
And, are you bilingual?
I do speak Greek, yes.
So you're one generation away from your family not speaking Greek at all.
Not speaking English? Oh, you're talking about my kids?
I'm talking about your kids.
We'll see.
Yeah, the way it kind of works is the parents have trouble speaking English. The kids are either bilingual or understand it better than they speak it.
Right.
And then by the time they have kids or their kids, it's like totally lost the language. It's a shame. My family, we've lost 5 languages in 2 years.
5.
Years. 5.
Wow.
Count them. 5. It's really sad. I am totally for multilinguistic skills. It just seems to be a very hard thing to pass from generation to generation,
right,
even with the best of intents.
I think just, you know, as a person, if you can look at something from multiple perspectives, which obviously being bilingual or multilingual helps. It's a terrific asset to have, especially in politics, education. The more perspectives you have, the better. You can solve more problems.
It's the reason why history is, I think, a really underrated subject. You can't understand where you've been, who you are, or where you're going unless you understand the historical context of the country you live in, the country your family comes from, the other countries that related to it. I mean, it really is all interconnected. And it's part, I think, getting into the political realm, I think it's part of what creates a valuable sense of perspective. You can have Congress, people in government who are extremely parochial. Some of them will brag about never having really traveled anywhere else except maybe to Washington in their homes,
right,
their hometown. And it's just an appalling lack of perspective.
Right. If the only country you understand or know is your own, you really don't know a country either. Yeah, if you don't even know your own country. Really, you need to have comparisons. And the fact is, a lot of the things we're trying to do here in the States, even in Texas, compared to other
That wasn't full, was it?
Not quite.
There was a coffee cup that suddenly got knocked over, which is exactly the thing that says, let's see, no smoking, no liquids somewhere.
All right. I'll be one for two, no smoking.
There you go.
Anyways, if you can, you know, have points of reference as states and as a country, it would be really helpful. And that's something that I focus my studies on at UT, as far as understanding global currents and other comparative politics and things like that, which I aim to apply to improving our country.
You actually have a little bit more in the way of specifics than some, I guess, first-time candidates, fair to say, than some first-time political candidates I've known and seen their websites. I'm just going to bullet point them, and then we're going to do a little quick fundraising,
right,
and then we're going to come back. Your bullet points: you want legislation to make government more honest and trustworthy through transparency. You want legislation that will make it mandatory for every politician to publish their full schedule, if not, I suppose, in advance, at least in retrospect, because security does become an issue at a certain point.
Right.
You want a legal framework so that the press will hold, I'm guessing, politicians responsible for the things that they say, basically encouraging fact-based journalism.
Absolutely.
That journalists, there should be some way of making it more imperative for journalists to hold politicians accountable, Democrats
correct.
And Republicans, as well as independents and whatnot. Interesting suggestion. A Democratic National Convention during the off-election years for congressional elections. I want to spend a little bit more time talking about that when we get back to the conversation.
Okay.
And the fact that you consider yourself, and I think fairly, a political outsider, and you're certainly at the point in your life where your primary agenda is to do good as you see it. And I think that's how most politicians start, whether you agree with them or not, is to do good as they see it. It's after they've been in office for 5 or 10 or 20 years that it starts to become a little bit more fuzzy. Okay, we're going to take a little break. It's not really a break because I'm still here and Nico is still here, but we have to talk about, you know, supporting the station that Nico is on being interviewed right now by me. KPFT is a nonprofit, 501(c) educational nonprofit. I will be asking Ted Poe's people if he wants to come on the show. I'm not holding my breath, but the offer will be tendered. And if he accepts, that would be really cool. And that's because we are not a political advocacy station. We all have points of view, but we also try to balance those points of view in a way that is informative more than simply trying to advocate a point of view. So we really could use your support. The phone number, and this time it's not a call-in show, but it is a call-in pledge, 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. We have a $400 goal for this hour. So basically a fairly new show, 10 to 11 o'clock at night, but $400. That's what they've saddled me with. So, boy, I could sure use your help, whether it's $5 or $20 or $100, whatever you can afford. We would sure appreciate that pledge. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. One of the premiums, and I'm actually going to ask Egberto in a minute to go over some of the premiums, but one of the premiums that I think is the coolest is something called Big History. It's a three-disc collection, and it basically shows how history doesn't move in a straight line, events don't move in a straight line. The law of unintended consequences is very much at play in the human experience. It's a three-disc set with 17 episodes, all narrated by Emmy Award winner Bryan Cranston. So I guess now he's breaking historic. The description that comes on the back is, did you know that people carry the legacy of the Titanic and even the Big Bang in their pockets every day in the form of a cell phone? Or that a connection exists between Egyptian mummies and today's ham and cheese sandwich? And there are a lot of cynics that will say, yeah, we figured that out. Surprising links between the past and the present are revealed as Big History explores 13.7 billion years of history and asks questions like, was the American Revolution driven in part by a biological thirst for caffeine? I actually think so. Crisscrossing through time and space, each Big History episode uses cutting-edge visuals and graphics to reveal transformative relationships between science and history. There was a series on PBS about 30 or 40 years ago called Connections, which I thought was a really, really great show. And I think Big History is sort of in a line of descent from that series. The episode names The Superpower of Salt. Salt is actually has interesting potentials for storing energy, kind of like a battery. The Horsepower Revolution. I don't know if they touch on it in the show, but actually the first discovery of potential steam power may have been Archimedes back in ancient Greek times. He just never understood that it could be harnessed for actually work. Episode Gold Fever, Below Zero, Megastructures, Defeating Gravity, World of Weapons, Brain Boost, I could use that, Mountain Machines, Pocket Time Machine, Deadly Meteors Decoded, Rise of the Carnivores, we have vegans at this station that probably would mourn that, The Sun, Silver Supernova, H2O, and The Big History of Everything, plus 30 minutes of bonus footage never before seen on TV. I believe that the contribution level, the support level for that is $150, if I'm not mistaken. Can I have that book over there, please?
Sure.
Watch the coffee. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I believe it's a $150 donation. It is not mandatory that you contribute $150 to support this station or this show, but that's what it'll take to get this free thank you gift of Big History, narrated by Bryan Cranston. I think at about $35, you can get a voting membership at KPFT, where you can actually participate in choosing shows and going to board meetings and electing board members. You know, one of the great stories I like to tell, there was once an old woman who donated $16.50. And I thought that was a mm-hmm. really interesting number. It's not what you'd call a round number.
Specific.
Bob, who is, I believe, in Call Central, Pledge Central tonight, he's the one who took that call. And what he explained to me was that this was an older woman who lived on a fixed income. Mm. And she really wanted to support KPFT, which, by the way, only 1 in 16 listeners ever does. 1 in 16.
It's too bad.
She really wanted to help support the station, and she went through her bills, and she went through her income, and decided that really all she could afford was $16.50.
Wow.
Now, you know, we always look for the big pledge. It would be great. I have a $400 goal for the hour. It'd be great if somebody pledged $400. I'm not necessarily expecting that, but if you're thinking about it, please and thank you. But you know what? If you're one of those $16.50 people, or if you're one of those folks that can only pledge $3 a month on your credit or debit card, or, you know, if whatever it is you can do for you, that's a significant donation. And we appreciate every donation that you pledge to KPFT
right.
and Think Wing Radio. Yes, sir.
It's interesting. You know, I think what we need to
Oh, and phone number. Let me do the phone number because we don't do it often enough. 713-526-KPFT, 713-526-5738. Now, please go ahead.
Now, think about it. Our listeners would never have gotten a chance to listen to Mr. Letts here
if
absent a KPFT.
That's right.
You know, so I mean, we
would never have a chance to listen to you or me
right.
for whatever that's worth. Maybe that's a negative. I don't know.
We hope not.
We hope not.
Yeah.
So what other thank you gifts can we offer folks?
For $240, Gypsy Kings, Sunday, May 11th. Gypsy Kings.
Gypsy. Oh, yeah. We have concert. We have show tickets.
Yes.
We have art car ball tickets. Anyone who calls Pledge Central at 713-526-5738, the person who answers the phone, you can ask them, because we do a really terrible job of that. That's just not my strong suit. But they are sitting there with the entire list of different tickets and different shows and different things that you can get as a thank you gift, whether it's a T-shirt or a beach blanket or Los Lonely Boys or whatever it happens to be.
Yes.
Just ask them, and they'll tell you at what levels you can get which thank you gifts. Okay, you're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. You can go to my blog, thinkwingradio.com, learn a little about Nico Letsos.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I keep wanting to call you Nick, and I know I could, right. But I'd like to get the name right.
Thanks.
Nico Letsos, I've got a link to his site there that you can learn more about him. To be fair, I also put Ted Poe's site there, but I'm not sure that hurts you.
Oh, no problem.
And thinkwingradio.com, follow me at thinkwingradio on Twitter, and also usually within several hours to several days, I will have put a recording of this show up on that site so you can listen to it after the fact as well and hear the phone number again and maybe still pledge.
All right.
So we don't mind that. So Nico is running for Congress, the Texas 2nd.
That's
against
right.
Ted Poe. Ted Poe is a longtime incumbent.
10 years.
10 years. So we talked before the pledge break about some of your specific ideas. The legislation that you would like to propose that would, I have to say, I have a problem with showing real-time location. Government spending.
Yes.
Government officials, absolutely not.
Oh.
But real-time location and details of all government spending and transparency in all government actions and expenditures. So can you expand on that?
Sure. Well, really what that amounts to is so much of our relationship with the government boils down to the taxes we pay and how those taxes are spent. Really, over a quarter of our nation's wealth goes to governments, from municipals on up. Obviously, the biggest recipient of our tax money is the federal government. And really, what my effort is aimed at is allowing the American people to track their tax dollars. We pay so much in taxes. We ought to be able to keep tabs and make sure they're going to worthy causes that strengthen the country, not petty, selfish ones, not a subcontractor that is really just a government friend or anything corrupt like that. So the way I figured would be best to tackle that would be to get a physical location of where government money is actually spent, where the funds are actually going. So if you have a government contract to actually do something, just the office that won that contract, wherever they're located, would be posted online on a map. So you can put in your zip code and see all of the government projects and spending going on around in your location. Now, besides sort of the inherent benefit of and how right it is for us as taxpayers to have access to this knowledge in one place where it's really easy, this would also make government action more efficient, because you would have instantly about 300 million people in this country keeping tabs on government projects to make sure schedules are maintained, budgets are accurate, and things like that. So, I mean, so much of our federal budget is a black box. I mean, you know, very few people know where the money goes. The Federal Register is obscenely long. So my effort is aimed at involving the American people into that process, which is a very powerful thing that could really help our country.
Now, I think on your website you talked a little about Ted Poe's opinions about how taxes should be levied, mm-hmm. and what their levels should be. I am personally an advocate of progressive taxation. I see user fees as another form of flat tax.
Right.
Tolls are another form of flat tax. Property taxes are actually another form of flat tax. And when conservatives and Republicans talk about tax reform, typically they're talking about flattening taxes.
Yep.
So tell us a little about how you and Ted Poe differ in your idea on how to raise taxes and what kinds of perhaps rates there should be and how perhaps they should be levied.
Okay. Well, first, for Ted Poe, he is, like you said, sort of a caricature conservative.
I never said that.
I'm sorry. Well, okay. Yeah, no.
Don't put words in my mouth if they're your words.
Well, he's a typical conservative, rather, in the vein that you were describing as far as favoring a flat tax. And for him, he's actually advocated on record, he's voted for a 23% national sales tax to replace income tax in all federal levies in general, sort of one fell swoop, 23%.
Now, I think it's really, really important to dwell on that, because
all right,
when you talk about a 23% sales tax, people who think we should have a flat tax, that it would be better if we just taxed everybody at the same rate because that would be quote-unquote fair, they never really think about what that means.
Mm-hmm.
They actually think their taxes will go down.
It's not the case.
47%, as Mitt Romney pointed out, 47% of Americans do not pay, and he said this incorrectly, actually do not pay income taxes. Everybody pays taxes because we're all
right,
paying sales taxes, and directly or indirectly we're paying property taxes, etc. 47% of Americans do not pay income taxes, federal income taxes. 53% of Americans do. But when you start to look at the proportions of income that are paying taxes, someone like me, I think that our tax rate after we figured our deductions came to like 15%, which is the lowest
mm-hmm.
rate. So if there was a 23% sales tax, our taxes would effectively go up 50%. Now, of course, you might have some savings, which would make that effective rate a little lower. But essentially, every dollar you spent, a quarter would go to taxes, whereas right now, every dollar you spend or every dollar you earn, in my case, 15 cents goes to
right,
taxes. So the big boys mm-hmm. who don't spend nearly all their income.
Right, who don't consume and save and pass it on.
They would get enormous
right,
tax cuts.
And the thing that we're facing now in this country is an inequality crisis where social mobility, which has been really the heart of the American experiment from the very beginning, it's as hard as ever now to get ahead if you're not starting off wealthy, I mean, to enter the middle class and to stay in the middle class. And what a consumption tax would do, it would really favor those that are already wealthy, that don't consume as much and save, hit them a lot lighter. So my tax policy is very much a progressive income tax, which we've had since Woodrow Wilson's presidency.
And which has been flattening over the last 40, 50 years.
Right. I mean, I'm not in favor of the Bush tax cuts, of course, as a Democrat. However, really my philosophy on it is, we have plenty of money. The deficit is a huge issue. So what we need to do is we need to straighten out our finances and our budget. And that is exactly what that website, accountability.gov, where the map would be aimed at. Getting our taxes and expenditures to be as streamlined as possible. So we make sure every tax dollar we spend is maximized and goes to the best causes.
Now, another piece of legislation you're thinking you might like to sponsor would make every politician's schedule available to the public, presumably in many cases after the fact, again, for security reasons. So the public would know who a politician meets, where they get their campaign donations, and which politicians may appear to be serving special interests more than their constituents.
Right. A majority of a politician's time really should be spent, I mean, when we think about it, in town halls, communicating with people, touring schools, military bases, making sure government projects are working correctly, checking for efficiencies, that sort of thing. And unfortunately,
or even just occasionally thinking for the next big idea.
Right. I mean, you know, yeah, think tanks, you know, and as part of a town hall, you know, hopefully you would. I really am in favor of getting out here and, you know, very appreciative of being on your radio station here so I can hear more people's thoughts on my ideas so I can refine them and, you know, improve. And really, all politicians should be doing that. So with this idea, having politicians out there would really help our democracy, because right now they're spending so much of their time just with special interests, cozying up to lobbyists, staying in D.C., being very isolated. And just like it makes a lot of sense to follow our tax dollars with my previous proposal, we ought to be able to send who we send to be able to track who we send to Washington, D.C. in the same vein.
Well, in that line of thought, in the strictest sense, as we are often reminded in movies, we are the employers of the politicians who are in the government.
Yes.
And your boss has a right to know, have you been spending too much time on personal phone calls? Have you been spending too much time playing solitaire on the computer? Have your lunch breaks been too long? Have you been going out early, going home early, or coming in late chronically? Those are things that any boss is understood to have a right to know. And since in the grandest sense, we are all the employers of the people we elect, this is just kind of a logical extension of that.
Absolutely. And the thing is, in this age of information technology, it would be so easy to do. You've talked about security reasons, and I agree. I mean, that could be an issue. But basically, within a day, people could keep tabs. So there would be instant feedback so people could know what's really going on. And the thing is now, if you look on a politician's website, if you look on Ted Poe's website, there's a real scarcity of events you can go to and actually speak to him if you have an issue, something you think your representative ought to know about. I'm just like you said, our employers as a politician is the American people. It's the public that voted for us, our constituents. And right now, I mean, there's such a giant wall between the constituent and the representative, and that ought to be torn down. And that's exactly what
at least punch some holes in it.
Punch some holes to start, but ultimately completely level.
Tear down that wall.
Tear down that wall. Absolutely.
That's only the second thing from Ronald Reagan that I ever quote.
What's the first?
Trust but verify.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Egberto.
Well, Mike, I think you need to sort of thank some lucky stars here. We have a great donation from a Linda I think we'd call it the north side of town, the northeast side of town. So why don't you thank her?
Thank you so much, Linda. We don't talk about donation amounts over the radio, but whatever it is you contributed, we are deeply appreciative. And that gives us a great segue. We are at the bottom half of the hour. You are listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM. My intermittent guest between pledge drive stuff is Nico Letsos. He is the Democratic nominee for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, running against Republican Ted Poe. We are doing our spring fundraiser. You can help support KPFT, your community-funded nonprofit 501(c)(3) educational, tax-exempt, tax-deductible station. That's a pretty long string of things there. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Even though the vast majority of people who, and I use the term work because it is work, even when you're not paid for it, and even if you love it, but we're volunteers. I'm a volunteer. Egberto's a volunteer. We have people in Pledge Central who are volunteers. Most of the programmers and engineers are volunteers. And even with all that volunteerism, it still costs $150 an hour to keep this station on the air, which is kind of mind-blowing because there's the cost of equipment, replacing equipment, maintaining equipment, the electricity to power equipment. Even though we are volunteers, we do like to have heat and air conditioning. There are telephones that have to be supported. There are all kinds of expenses. Now, we do have some poorly paid employees. There are a few, but mostly the money goes toward keeping the lights on, in a manner of speaking, literally and metaphorically. So we would really appreciate your help. I would appreciate seeing support from my show, but more importantly, I would appreciate seeing support for KPFT. You can call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Now, one thing I would like to point out, and I try to do this at least once during every pledge drive hour, most people listen to radio in their cars. And, you know, you may be driving along right now, 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, it's dark. You may be going 60 miles an hour. You're paying attention to the road. We don't want to distract your driving too much. So we don't necessarily want you to start saying, oh, man, I have got to support KPFT. Let me pull out my wallet and drive with one hand while the other hand is juggling the wallet and taking out the card, and I have to try to read my credit card number. You don't have to do that, okay? If you have a headset, now, of course, I'm not going to discourage you from pulling over to the side of the road, which is what is typically advised. However, we all know that almost no one does that. However, if you have a smartphone, if you have a hands-free set, whether an earpiece or some transceiver in your car, you can call, tell your headset to call 713-526-5738. You don't have to pull out your wallet or fish for your credit card or try to read in the dark. Just call one of our friendly Pledge Central pledge takers, and they will take your name and your contact information and the amount of money you would like to pledge. And remember, a pledge is just a promise to pay. You're going to tell us how much you would like to pay to support KPFT, and that will be a tax-deductible amount. And later on, we can call you back. We can send you an email. We can send you a statement to remind you about your pledge. And that can all be taken care of at a time when it is safe for you to actually, you know, handle money or credit cards or whatever. So if you are driving, if you would like to support the work that KPFT does, the volunteers that bring you this station every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, please call 713-526-5738. And again, for the purposes of your hands-free set, that's 713-526-5738. I want to point out that one of the amazing things about KPFT is the sheer number of different programs that this one station carries. I don't think there's any other station in Houston, and I even include in that the other public radio station that we have. I don't think there's any other station in Houston that carries as many shows as we do. Just on FM, we carry over 80 different programs every week.
Wow.
Between FM and HD3, we carry over 100 different programs every week. Now, some of them, like KPFT Local News, are daily, five days a week, half an hour. Some of them are weekly, like mine, Think Wing Radio. We have an unbelievable eclecticism in the kinds of shows we have. Starting with the A's, and I'm not going to go through all 100 shows, but starting with the A's, we have After Hours, which is a GLBT variety show. We have Alternative Radio, Progressive Voices, Arab Voices, Bayando in Texas, BBC News, which is, I think, weekdays 6 to 7 and 8 to 9 a.m. We have music like the Bluegrass Zone, Bluegrass, Blues and Hi-Fi, Blues Brunch. We seem to have a blues thing. Shows like Coming to America for the immigrant community, where we actually have real immigration lawyers who can help discuss with you callers issues about immigration, which I know from my family situation can be extremely complex and frustrating. Community dialogue, damage control, which is a musical show, exploration with Michio Kaku, Generation Radio for the Asian American community, Democracy Now, which is a very famous news and talk program, Coming to Growing Up in America, Howlin' Blues, The Inner Side, Irish Airs, which is actually kind of fun. I occasionally like to listen to that. Irish music is cool. Politics Done Right by our own Egberto Willis, which is done Mondays from 9 to 10 p.m. So The Prison Show, which I think The Prison Show is like a unique show in America, actually humanizes people that otherwise you just see on MSNBC when Rachel Maddow sends you to prison.
Actually, I think that shows like that is important, and that's why having somebody like Nico running, somebody who actually is not only empathetic but also knows the history and the material is so important. So that's why I think we should, you know,
empathy is critical in politicians. You know, it may not be considered beneficial in CEOs. They have to be kind of heartless and ruthless, unfortunately, and they do that really, really well. But I think in the people that govern us, empathy is a really critical factor, because without empathy, it's just every man for himself, and, you know, the people in government are just sticking out the hand and glad-handing people that donate to their campaigns and slush funds and stuff like that.
Right.
And that is what Nico Letsos, who is running for Texas's 2nd Congressional District against Ted Poe, the Republican. And those are among the things that you are trying to change.
That's correct. And let me say, you want someone that will fight for you, someone that's on your side. And, I mean, I come from the 2nd District. I was born and raised in the 2nd District.
You teach in the 2nd District.
I teach in the 2nd District. That's correct, my wife.
What level, high school is it, or middle school?
I teach high school. I teach juniors and seniors, Algebra 2 and 3.
Already makes you smarter than me.
And the year's wrapping up right now. It's going very well.
And anytime a year wraps up, it's going very well.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, you struggle with students who don't, they think, oh, I've got some A's, so I'm basically done. But I've yet to run up against that so far this year. So I'm very thankful
for
that.
You don't teach seniors, do you?
No, I do.
Oh, you
do? Juniors, and so that's why.
The coaster
yes,
class in high school.
Yeah, that's why I'm amazed, actually, because previous years when I taught seniors, this time of year was very, a lot of obstacles, a lot of road bumps in it. And so far, it's been very well this year.
So being a teacher is one of the things, maybe one of the central things that has provoked you to feel like you need to run for Congress. You need to add your voice to try to make things better. Tell me a little about the kinds of things that have moved you to take the action
Sure.
you're taking now running for Congress.
At its core, as a teacher, really what I'm trying to instill into my students is a belief that if you work hard in this country and you play by the rules, you'll get ahead. It's simple as that. I mean, that's really what this country has always been about. If you work hard, you know, follow the law, basically do what you're told, follow the sort of, you know, get a good education, you'll get a good job, gateway to the middle class, that sort of thing. That's what I'm trying to instill in these lower income students, that it's out there to grab. But unfortunately, the truth is right now, the rules are really rigged against the up and coming. So that was really the impetus that left me no choice but to stand and run against a politician in Ted Poe who usually goes unopposed in his elections.
Very tough to run against an incumbent.
Right. And also in the second district, which is unbelievably gerrymandered. One interesting fact about the second district, which goes from Kingwood, where Umberto and I just were, in fact, all the way to Katy, Cy Fair, and Spring Branch, all the way down to Montrose and Rice, where we are right now at KPFD. This is in the second district. It's so gerrymandered that, yeah, it's basically...
I already feel kind of Poe-ish.
It's,
I didn't know that.
It's 65%. It's gerrymandered to be about 65% Republican. So he's just using the district. He doesn't really go out and try to earn the support of people because he thinks he has it in the bag. And that is a terrible thing in a democracy. So basically to have my students have someone to fight for them, represent them, fight for their interests was a big motivation for me. Another one was at my school, over a third of the students are undocumented, although they have been in the country for the most part, the majority of them at least, since early childhood, 5, 6 years old. So they speak perfect English. They've received a very good Texas education, and because, you know, just where they were born and they didn't have a choice in it, they don't have access to all of the funds available for them to pursue higher education, get a job and career beyond that with a social security number, and be a productive member of our society. It's very absurd to me that that's the situation we're living with.
You raise a very interesting point when you say that one third of your students are undocumented, because from the conservative point of view, there's a question about whether we should even be paying for them to be in school.
Right.
Should we be paying for the seats that they are taking up? Should we be paying for the computers and the school supplies and the teachers? So why should we be educating? Why should we care? I mean, let's not even talk about whether they've been here since childhood. Maybe they've been here since they were 2 months old or they were born here of illegal immigrant parents. Why should we be paying for their education? And why does it matter to all of us whether we do or don't?
Really, that is the heart of the matter, and it's why it's such a complicated issue, because you mentioned your background and your family's immigration history. I mean, mine as well. My family coming from Greece.
All of us are immigrants.
Right, but, you know, some of us are more recent than others.
Sure.
And, I mean, yeah, you feel something like, you know, my mom, my dad, they waited, they applied. It was a very arduous process, and, you know, me, their son, received an education. Now the question, yeah, it's a very, like I said, a very tough one. So why should we be paying? Well, the fact is, our businesses benefit enormously from this immigrant population. That's why they're here. They can improve their own lives.
As both consumers and workers.
Absolutely. And they ought to be also benefiting back by paying taxes, which they're not doing because they're undocumented.
Well, sales taxes, they're still paying taxes.
Right.
Even undocumented workers, even if they're paid off the books, they're still paying taxes.
Absolutely. And but the thing is, I mean, they're not paying as many taxes as they would be
Perhaps
if they were
documented.
Right. So, I mean, straightening all of that out. And the thing is, that's the situation we're at. We're all sort of responsible for it. It's not a liberal conservative issue. We've got to this point with an enormous undocumented population. And the question becomes, what do you do with it? In education, by the way, Supreme Court in California, they tried banning undocumented students from receiving a public education in the mid-1990s. And the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. You have to offer public education to basically residents in your area. So property taxes and other things like that sort of mandate it.
I think one of the critical questions when you hear conservatives argue, and not all conservatives argue this, but it's a common argument that we should not be spending our tax dollars for education for illegal immigrants, for medical care for illegal immigrants. But what is the alternative? I mean, it's easy to say
right.
that we shouldn't do these things, but what would the alternative look like to have an uneducated, unhealthy, illegal immigrant population? Essentially, an underclass of ignorant people.
Right, who are working long
ignorant
hours.
Ignorant in the technical sense of the word.
No, absolutely. And not having a legal persona. And working, you know, a lot of hours, exploitative hours, really. Getting paid sometimes below the minimum wage. And all of that. I mean, that would be so un-American. It would be almost like, to throw a strong word out there, like an apartheid state.
But
where you would have...
wouldn't it pose dangers to our society to have an uneducated...
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, literally uneducated. People not permitted to go to school.
Right. That would be absurd. Nothing's existed since that, like that, since the 19th century. I mean,
Has it ever existed? Have we ever had a society where people weren't allowed to have an
Well, sure.
Women, maybe, sometimes. But at least males. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a class, except for slaves, I don't think there's ever been a class of people forbidden to be educated.
Well, it was a classist thing because education cost money before it was publicly, you know, universal. And if you couldn't afford it, then you couldn't necessarily have access to it because you were priced out of the market. And really, that's what's at issue here. The universalism of basic American rights and really what they are, human rights. Right to education, right to, you know, literacy, and have all these career openings to you. And that's what I'm struggling with every single day, teaching my students, you know, to work hard, play by the rules, you know, learn this material because it'll benefit you. Whereas I know a third of them have, you know, this enormous challenge in front of them where because
it's
they're undocumented.
Fuzzy future.
Right. And it's up in the air. And the thing is, you know, there's so many ideas. And what I'm hoping to do in government by making it more accountable and transparent is bringing these politicians out here, understanding the situation on the ground, and whatever the solution may be that we get to as a democracy, the fact is we need to get out there. So instead of it just being gridlock and, you know, everything being gerrymandered and not getting anything done, we need a conversation. And the conversation will begin when we know what our politicians are up to, when we know how they're spending our tax dollars, and we're getting the story straight, which are the exact three legislative proposals I have.
One thing I want to touch on before we go back into fundraising mode, the interesting idea you have for essentially an off-year Democratic convention. We only have them during presidential years. That's been true of all the major parties. So your notion of having having a national convention during the congressional years, what would that look like? Why would you do it? Why should the Democrats do it?
Okay.
I don't think it's realistic for 2014. The time frame is just way too short. But for the future, for 2018, for 2020, or 2022, I guess it would be. So what would be the benefits of that?
Okay. Well, right now, we have this, you know, these conventions and presidential years, and it's a lot of pomp. A platform is created, and really it's sort of the culmination of the presidential campaign where the candidates clearly have their message out to the American people and people kind of know what's at stake. And, you know, obviously the turnout is much greater for presidential years because people know what's at stake, because the message is clear. In midterms, the turnout is abysmal. It's very low. And that is
abysmal, maybe a kind.
Right. And that is a great harm to our democracy because issues like immigration reform, issues like accountability and transparency in government, like gridlock and all these things are decided during the midterm. So the purpose of a convention...
The president isn't king, and you've got to give him a Congress. If you believed in his positions enough to vote for him, you need to give him a Congress he can work with.
And, sir, if there's ever been a president that's proven that rule, it's this one. I mean, he came in with enormous potential, whatever you think of him. He had a lot of, you know, great ideas, really, and he worked with the most unproductive Congress in our nation's history because it's gotten as bad as it's ever been in terms of special interests.
The 1948 do-nothing Congress looked like the do-all-kinds-of-stuff Congress right. compared to this one. It's really quite
right.
stunning.
So a convention would be to sort of clean that out. I mean, it wouldn't be about personalities like the presidential one. The heart of a national convention for midterms would be the legislation that party would propose and pass if in the majority in Congress. So, for example, I propose a law that I think would transform our relationship with government, accountability.gov, where all tax dollars, all budgets, all contracts are in one easy-to-find location. Let's say the Democratic Party wants to take that up. So the heart of the convention would be legislation like that, that we will plainly tell the American people, hey, this is what, if you vote for us in your midterm, in your local election, in your congressional district, it is tied to this greater national effort. Because really, our Congress, what's the problem? It's over-localized, it's over-partisan, and it's gridlocked. So if we had a sense of national importance to midterm years, kind of like we do for presidential years, it would do a lot to clean out the system. And
you could almost call it a platform convention.
Right.
Where the convention would serve to remind people why they should vote in an off-year election, what it means to them in terms of policy.
Right, and specifics. Because one of the other reasons I'm in politics right now is, I mean, you look at the candidates and they're offering so little in terms of specifics, whether it's, you know, governor, people running for governor, other congressional candidates. I actually had a candidate tell me that it was wrongheaded for me to have ideas because we should basically follow the leader. Now, that is outrageous.
Wrongheaded to have ideas.
I am not kidding.
This is an original thinker.
Right. And the thing is
but that's he just had an idea, yeah. which is not to have ideas.
There you go. But
I mean, it's such a paradox. I don't know what to do with that.
And the thing is, a convention would force these parties to be specific and come out. And the thing is, when you campaign with ideas and you campaign honestly and speak plainly with the American people, once you're in office, you'll actually be able to follow through with it. I don't care to be a vague politician. I'm telling my constituents, the people I've lived my entire life with in the 2nd District, if you know what you get if you vote for me. These are the things I will pursue that I'll act on.
Okay, we're going to go back into pledge mode for a few minutes, and then
something to tell you.
Oh, I hope it's good news.
I think you've got some good news. Just say thank you to Lillian Marlowe. Would you
Lillian,
happen to know that person?
I do happen to know that person.
Well, why don't you tell us?
That person is family. So that's my mom.
That's your mom.
That's my mom.
How sweet.
She would be very upset with me if I told you how old she was.
I can figure out how old she is looking at how
I'm
young
63,
you are.
I'm 63, so you can start to do some math.
Okay, I did the math already.
And
thank you, Mom.
So let me ask you, do we want to know where we are in terms of totals? We have a $400 goal for this hour. Do we want to have an idea where we are in terms of our totals? Egberto?
Talk to me, my buddy.
I'm trying. Do we have any idea what our total is? We have this $400 goal.
I don't have a total, but you're probably halfway there.
Halfway there. With about six minutes left to go,
well,
we got work to do.
Well, look, you have a politician next to you. Tell them if people want to see good politicians, and they must make sure that we have a voice.
That's true. That's
very true.
Now, to be fair, I can't ask him for money because raising money is his problem.
No. Yeah. We are not talking about a politician raising money. We are talking about.
Oh, I see Bob. Bob, I can't read.
You just need $100, buddy.
I need $100?
Yeah, so you
come on. Five callers, $20 a pop.
Keep talking.
We could do that. Four callers, $25 a pop. 713-526-5738.
We brought you Nico Letsos,
a good Greek name.
Let Nico speak a bit
Greek
and tell them how good it is.
I agree. KPFT was really one of the first media outlets to give me an opportunity to speak to my constituents. I'm very thankful. I contacted Mike sort of out of the blue. We just kind of met, and he was very receptive. You know, a lot of people, as an outsider with, as far as direct political experience, little, you know, really necessarily wouldn't listen to me. But what this radio station represents, and as it ought to represent, as we need, is an outlet for candidates like me that stand a chance to benefit, you know, their districts, to have an opportunity outlet to speak to their listeners and to Houston. And like I said, they're one of the very few. And if my campaign blows up, we can all say it began here at KPFT. And that
in a good
is,
way.
And in a good way.
Blowing up in a good way.
If it expands and I unseat a do-nothing politician in my opponent, then obviously this radio station will have proven. And
would I get to be like your MC at your victory party?
Absolutely.
I'll that here. Oh, so cool.
So
quid pro quo.
No, that's not a quid pro quo. I didn't make it. That wasn't a condition for him to be on the show. I'm just asking if he does well. If he does well, and it has nothing to do with me, of course, but could I be the MC at his victory party? I've never been the MC at anybody's victory party.
Let's clean it up. No.
Well, he said yes.
He seemed, now, Umberto now, is he seems like he has
word?
Experience.
Was he for it before he was against it?
I said you'll be an MC, not the only one.
Okay.
Maybe.
I would even settle for that. Okay. I would settle for that. 713-526-5738. If you're in your car, please tell your smartphone to call us, 713-526-5738. We can take your pledge and sort out the financial intricacies later. Let's see. All of a sudden, I had a mind blank. I don't know why, because all I'm doing is asking for money. Okay, remember, we are a volunteer radio station. Almost everyone here is volunteer. I am. Egberto is. God knows Nico is. We try to bring you information. We try to bring you different points of view. We try to bring you information on community concerns. KPFT Local News gives you local stories that nobody else covers. We serve, I think, an indispensable function in the Houston community, but that doesn't mean that we will always be here. We rely upon your support. 1 in 16 listeners to KPFT has ever helped to support the station financially. We're not asking you to put a tithe on your salary. We're not asking for 10% of what you earn. You know, it might be $5 or it might be $10 a month or it might be $40 one time so you can vote at the various meetings and select board members and have input into programming. There's all kinds of things. You have thank you gifts, which you can choose if you would like. The big history narrated by Bryan Cranston, the 3-disc set for $150, that's a thank you gift. Or you can get a T-shirt thank you gift, or you can get a ball cap thank you gift with KPFT's logo on it. So many different things. We really would appreciate your support. We just need $100 to meet this hour's goal. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. I've got about a minute and 14 seconds. I want to thank Nico Letsos, the Democratic candidate for the 2nd Congressional District in Texas, running against Ted Poe. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your time with our begging for money.
You're very welcome. And I think the key word was indispensable. That is exactly what the radio station is.
Well, we appreciate that very, very much. And I hope you'll come back at a time when we can actually do a full hour with people calling in and asking questions and making comments.
I look forward to it.
That would be terrific. Me too. Thank you so much. Okay, you've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston. You can still call with those last-minute pledges, 713-526-5738. Every dollar, literally every dollar, is appreciated, and we thank you. Thank you so much for the people that have called in during this hour, and I'll speak to you next week. And remember, if the 99% vote, the 1% don't matter.
Come above your color, child. language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor, when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy, permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters, regardless of the hour.